Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air February 2nd and 3rd, year of our Lord 2025. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. The last couple of weeks we've had some pretty big days. We've had Inauguration Day, Martin Luther King Day. We had last Monday, we had Holocaust Remembrance Day. If you're with us on February 2nd, that's Groundhog Day. That's not too serious of a holiday, and I don't know what the groundhog will see or not see, but I know that we serve a God who has a plan. That no matter how much rain, no matter how much snow, no matter how much heat, no matter how much cold, God has a plan to bring us to the place that we need to be. Today in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, we're kind of turning the page on the birth. And last Sunday morning, we talked a little bit about the childhood of Jesus Christ. We don't know much about that. Today, as was the custom of Luke, when he began his gospel, we started talking about John the Baptist. We're going to come back to John the Baptist and his story today. And then later on, we will get into the ministry of Christ. Do not think we will make it that far this Sunday and Monday morning. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. Luke, being a physician, is taking detail here, and I do not mean to minimize the scripture in any way. I think as I read over this, I think, well, you know, these words may have meant more to people who lived in Luke's day, because they would have recognized these names, they would have recognized these titles. If I were to say this morning, if I were to tell you, well, something happened when Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States, and Margaret Thatcher was the prime minister of England, and Gorbachev was the prime minister of Russia, you would know that I was talking about something that happened in the 1980s. It would be relevant to many of you. Of course, I am thankful today that we have listeners who were not born in the 80s. I'm very thankful for that. But you would have even someone who's been born in the 21st century, as I mentioned those names, would recognize them, perhaps from history class and just conversations of other people. All that. Luke's writing here is going to put us in about 25 to 30 A.D. Now, it's 30 A.D. according to next week's lesson. Here again, I don't think we'll get quite that far along. We've got Tiberius, Pontius Pilate that we're going to talk about later. Philip is going to be a player in this, along with Herod. And then Ananias and Caiaphas, who are going to be mentioned later on, as we get close to the crucifixion of Christ. So God has allowed the men that need to be in power in order to accomplish his purposes to be in power. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "The powers that be are ordained of God." I'm not talking about our present president. I'm not talking about our present governor. You may or may not like them, but whoever is in power because that is who God ordained to be there. And it is for his purposes. If we look back at the relationship in the Old Testament between the kings of Judah and Benjamin, the southern two tribes, and the kings of Israel, which would have been the northern 10 tribes for the most part, we see that in Israel there was never a good king, not after Solomon. I mean, the best king they ever had was about the last one. And what it says about him is he wasn't good, but he just wasn't as bad as the rest of them. Now that's the NRV, the Neil Ridlin version, but that's about what the Bible says about him. Now, the children of Judah had some good kings. They had men like Jehoshaphat and Josiah and others who earnestly sought the heart of God. And they had bad kings as well. Here, whether these men are good or bad, and certainly we will find that Annas, Caiaphas actually gave some good advice. I would not guarantee you that he had a good heart. But God has allowed these men to be where they are to fulfill his plan. And in verse 2, it includes the words, "The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness." Now, it seems like some time since we've talked about this, but we spent quite some time before Christmas talking about Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist. And so here we are about 30 years later, and John the Baptist is grown, and John the Baptist, the word of God comes to him, and so he begins to speak. In verse 3, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now, I kind of like that message. In fact, maybe I need to go back and reread this and make it a point to preach on this more often. I mean, guys, this sounds good to me. As we live in a country that has been so divided and has been so emotional about certain issues, about patriotism and religion and so many things, here comes John. And he says, "Hey, I'm crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." Well, why would you do that? Because he's coming. Because the Lord is coming. And guys, let me tell you something. As Christians, we shouldn't be dreading the coming of Jesus Christ. We ought to be like a little child looking forward to his daddy coming home from work. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be brought low. Now, I enjoy being up in the mountains and seeing the mountains and looking down into the valleys beneath. I am at the age I don't necessarily enjoy climbing them. And from what I've been told by folks that's been there, it's not real easy to walk. And you know, when these folks heard these words, it meant things were going to get better. I mean, the roads were going to be smoother. Life was going to be easier. I mean, if you fill in the valleys and you flatten out the hills, it makes it a lot easier to farm. It makes it a lot easier to ride that donkey, that mule, that horse. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everybody came to Christ? And we might still not see eye to eye on the color of the carpet or the type of instruments or whatever the case is, but I believe we could agree to disagree on some of that stuff. I mean, if everybody got right with God, we wouldn't be fighting about so many of the other issues that come along. Verse 7, "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, that's the reason I emphasized the first part of the message. Because old John, he hadn't read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. His opening line when they come to hear him, when they come to be baptized, "Who hath warned you to flee? Who hath warned, O generation of vipers?" He just called them a bunch of snakes. Now, if you went to your church this morning, or next Sunday, if you listen on Monday, whatever the case is, and the pastor gets up in the pulpit and says, "We all are just nothing but a bunch of snakes," I don't know if you're going to have a bigger crowd next week. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, "We have Abraham to our father." For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do then?" So John gives them a message of judgment. He says, "You're just a bunch of snakes, and you need to repent." And I'm telling you, right now at New Hope, we're studying the Gospel of John. And boy, this is just ringing home to me in John chapter 8, how the Pharisees said, "Well, Abraham's our father." John says, "Don't go there. Don't talk about who your daddy is. It's not about whether or not your daddy's right with God. It's about whether or not you're right with God." And here's the amazing thing. John tells them judgment's coming. John tells them they're not right. And the people ask him, saying, "What shall we do then?" In other words, when they heard his words, they knew he was speaking the truth. At least some of them did. And they said, "We want to get right, and we want to know how." Now, preacher, you better have an answer when somebody asks you this. And John did. He answereth and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also the publicans, that would simply be tax collectors, not republicans, to be baptized. And said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand." In other words, he can make the fire hotter with that fan. "And he will thoroughly purge the floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And we've already talked about how that some of the folks listened, and some of the folks repented. Verse 19, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife," because see, old Philip got divorced, and they may not even been divorced, but Herod wanted his wife, and he took her and married her. John said, "You're not supposed to do that." And for all the evils which Herod had done, John rebuked him, reproved him. Herod added yet this above all, that he shut up John in the prison. So we've got a man here who's not trying to win friends and influence people. He's preaching the truth at all costs, and he winds up in prison. Now, that's not fair. That's not nice. Some people might even say that's not right. In the beginning of this lesson, I told you that God had a plan. And we're going to come back, Lord willing, next week. And this is not the end of the story on John, but, well, it is the end of his life. Because John's not going to walk out of that prison. John's going to be carried by the angels out of that prison straight to heaven. Perhaps into the waiting arms of God. Because God had a plan. And God allowed this man to be on this earth for a very short period of time and to accomplish his purposes. And guys, we don't know how long we're going to be here. God didn't deliver John in his physical body, but I believe John is waiting in heaven today for the end of it all, because God had a plan to deliver him, and he has a plan to deliver you as well. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. That's God's promise to you, my friend, today. Appreciate you tuning in, listening to us. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.